Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Christopher Hall Show. I'm excited to welcome the program, Dr. Christopher Hall. Dr. Hall, Nobel Prize nominated doctor, best-selling author, and much, much more. Dr. Hall, thank you for your service. And you know what, man? It's got to feel great. A new year, and we're going to talk some really interesting topics, more celebrities coming and everything. How are you, Chris?
Wow. Well, you know what, Neil? I'm doing great. And I'm so excited about the new year again, with just the guests we'll be talking to and just the great information we can get out to the public. So yeah, I'm very, very excited.
All right. So kind of jumping into this topic and really came close to home. I am again, got the opportunity to tutor Damar Hamlin at an SAT prep tutoring program at Duquesne University years and years ago when he was still in high school getting ready to go play. He was at Central Catholic. Again, Central Catholic brings home. I did go 1 year to Pittsburgh Central Catholic. And so that also brought home. So when I heard what happened to Damar, I mean, my prayers were with him. I couldn't believe that this happened. And to understand, I remember one other time I heard of a heart attack in a sporting event and that of some high profiled athlete, and that was Len Bias, but he was on cocaine and ended up having a heart attack on the court when he played for the Maryland Terrapins, if I'm correct, Len Bias. And he was supposed to be he died of cocaine. It was the other guy, Hank Gathers. Didn't Hank Gathers die on the court? One of those two, I got to look back at those.
Right.
Len Bias was cocaine, but Hank Gathers ended up dying of a heart attack on the court. That's probably the most high profile person I have ever heard of dying, having something this serious on the field, like a heart attack. And you're telling me that what happened to Damar has happened in other sporting events. We just aren't getting the reports of this. I mean, to think someone in that greatest shape to have a heart attack. Oh my gosh, it was just shocking.
You know what? You're so right about that, Neil. And you know, that brings into light just how very rare this is, that in the hundreds of thousands sporting events with these professional athletes who are in the greatest shape, that we rarely ever hear of patients dying of a cardiac arrest or fatal arrhythmia on the actual court. And so it's extremely rare. And so that's kind of what our topic is about today. We want to talk about the sudden cardiac death that have been seen all throughout Europe and why this is occurring. What we know that there is a mechanism why this is causing. We have ample research now to show that from research journals, whether it's from top cardiologists or from journals, and I'm going to quote those journals here and the researchers who have brought this to light during this time period. And so we have a causative agent, we have a mechanism, and unfortunately, we're seeing the result of this now here in America.
No, I mean, absolutely. So what are you hearing, basically, the younger areas? What are your concerns about this? Because you, again, have performed when somebody has gone into cardiac arrest. You've saved people's lives, Dr. Hall. We've never talked about that as well. When you're doing your research and looking at these things and seeing these things that are happening with our young people today, what are your biggest concerns that you know it's not a health issue? There could be some other underlying reason why it's happening.
Exactly. And that's a great question, Neil. And so you're right. You know, reflecting on my experience as an emergency room physician over the last 23 years, I've certainly been in a situation to have to resuscitate thousands and thousands of cardiac arrests. And so let's go to the research. Let's go to what we're seeing and what we know about cardiac arrest in top flight athletes across the world. And so most of our data comes from a study that is out of the European Journal of Preventive Cardiology a study that was done back in 2006 with the authors David Figueroa and Karen Beelen and others. And the article is entitled Sudden Cardiac Death in Athletes. Again, published December 1st, 2006. And what they found was that, and you know, the European sports leagues has way more athletes than the NFL. Okay. When we look at all the soccer players that are in that league, there's literally, right. I mean, there's thousands. And so what they found when they looked at the sudden cardiac deaths that occurred on the field with the soccer players, which, you know, are typically in great shape to even play in that field, I'm sorry, in that game. They looked between 1996 and 2004, and what they found was that there was a total of 1,101 sudden cardiac deaths from cardiac arrest. And so if you look at that average, a yearly average, if you take that number, 1,101, divide by the total number of years, what you would get is 29 episodes of cardiac arrest on the field per year. Between 1996 and 2004. And so that's kind of the number that people are kind of quoting and that we go by here in the media. Now, what's surprising is that we know that since that time, one of our lead cardiologists, one of our most published cardiologists here in America, Dr. Peter McCullough, himself and another researcher by the name of Panagis Polycritus, looked at most recent data in the European sports leagues and looked at also cardiac arrest. And when they looked at that data, those two researchers, Dr. McCullough and Panagis Polycritus, what they found was that between early December and now, I'm sorry, early December 2020, and now what they found is there have been 1,500 cardiac arrest in the European sports league. And of that 1,500, 1,100 have been fatal. In other words, 1,100 of those people were not able to be resuscitated. Now, why is that important? The reason why that's important is because we know that in early December 2020, we know that that is the first time they started introducing the mRNA vaccines. That's the first time it was introduction in the world of those vaccines all over the world. People started getting those COVID vaccines in December 2020. And that's when we see a huge uptick in the sudden cardiac deaths on the field. Now, we don't see any other reason why these young, healthy people, there's no other medicines that have been introduced in a whole league of players.
Exactly.
There's been no major changes that would affect the heart or that would predispose people to injury to the heart. So that's fact number one. I can continue. Fact number two is that we know that there is a mechanism that can predispose people's hearts to fatal arrhythmias. What is that mechanism? Well, one of the well-known mechanisms is a type of scar that can occur in anyone's heart. If you get a scar in your heart from a cardiac injury or an illness of the heart, that scar can interfere with electrical pathways in your heart that you normally have. Those electrical pathways are interfered with, and therefore you can go into a fatal arrhythmia, a sudden cardiac death, and you can die. Why is this important? It's very important because now we see an uptick in the number of cases of what's called myocarditis. Myocarditis is kind of what it says. Think about it. Itis just means inflammation. Myo means muscle. And then carditis just means the heart. So the muscle of the heart is inflamed. And there are a number of things that can cause this. One of the most common things that doctors know and people in healthcare know that causes are viral infections. So almost any viral infection can cause this. So we would not be surprised if a new virus was introduced into society, which is the COVID virus, that we have increased cases in myocarditis. And so That's what's happened. The second part of that is, how does the COVID virus cause myocarditis? We know the causative agent on the COVID virus that causes injury and destruction to the human cells is something called the spike protein. So infection with the virus, and this is well known, and the CDC agrees, with the COVID virus can lead to cases of myocarditis secondary to the spike protein. So basically what it comes down to is anything that can put more spike protein in your body can lead to myocarditis, whether that's the virus or that's an injection of a medicine that can result in increased spike protein. So we ask ourselves the question, are there any confirmed studies that things like the COVID vaccine increases spike protein in our body? And so there is. And so I'll quote the journal, the Medical Journal of Circulation, actually just published January 4th, 2023, by Lowell, M. York, MD, and Swank, PhD, and colleagues in the Medical Journal of Circulation. They just published a study that they did on young people who were admitted to the Massachusetts General Hospital at Harvard University, kids who had elevated cardiac markers who were diagnosed with myocarditis and who had been admitted to the hospital. These kids were admitted in this select group, and the select group were kids who had been who had the COVID vaccine. So they had a COVID vaccine shot, they developed myocarditis, they were admitted to Massachusetts General Hospital at Harvard Medical School, and these researchers studied their blood to see was there any elevation of spike protein in the blood. And the results were shocking. What they found was that there was a huge amount of spike protein in the blood in those children who had the shot probably just two weeks ago or prior, and some months prior. So this is the point. It's well established that the injection of the mRNA vaccine increases the spike protein in the blood. That's one of the mechanisms. We know that. We know that the injection of mRNA, once you're injected with it, the spike protein production in your blood can go on for months. We don't know when it stops, and there have been research that found that the spike protein productions can last out to 10 months, even a year. The other issue with that is that the spike protein effect is cumulative. In other words, if you get spike protein from the virus, having the COVID virus infection, and then get a shot, a vaccine shot, it's an additive effect. So spike protein adds up. Every shot you get, every booster you get, your spike proteins add up. The mechanism is such that injury is caused to the heart by myocarditis, by the deposition of the spike proteins in the lining of the heart. It causes inflammation of those blood vessels. That's in your heart, your kidney, your brain. Inflammation of those vessels leads to an itis, which is either a myocarditis and inflammation of arteries. You might call it arteritis. And so what you find is that that inflammation, as any part of the body, any type of inflammation can lead to scarring, okay? The problem with the heart is that when you get myocarditis or inflammation of a muscle, that muscle needs to rest. So you can get a myositis, which is maybe an inflammation of a muscle somewhere in your leg or inflammation of a muscle in your arm, but you have the ability to rest those parts of your body, your arm and your leg. The problem with the heart is that when you get a myocarditis in the heart, you cannot rest the heart. You can do things to rest the heart, but the heart keeps bumping, beating, and it has to. And so eventually the inflammation of the heart forms a scar. And this scar has laid the foundation for the working pathophysiology, that's what we believe is going on. And I'm going to say this last part, and this is what we believe is going on. This is the working mechanism how this occurs. The patient gets myocarditis from a COVID vaccine or from the spike proteins of the virus, okay? If you have both of those, you'll get a cumulative effect. That spike protein, then, again, like I said, it deposits in the heart, causes myocarditis. The inflammation, like inflammation in any part of your body, causes a scar. The scar occurs in the heart. Once the scar occurs in the heart, it can therefore obscure and destroy your normal electrical pathways. Your heart just has electricity flowing through it. It can block one of those pathways and cause a fatal and sudden arrhythmia in an adult or a young person who has scarring in the heart. We believe that this is what happened to Damar Hamlin, and we believe that this is what's happening to the athletes across Europe and to the young people across America now that we see who are actually, some of them are having severe cases of myocarditis. And unfortunately, we're seeing cases where children are actually dying.
I wanted to just, because we are closing out the segment, Dr. Hall, this is something again that because of the controversy, you as a doctor are going to present both sides. You're not going to totally look at what Dr. Peter McCullough says and stuff like that. You're going to take your own emphasis and say there has to be more of a study, but you think that study will ever uncover something or will be considered again fake news?
Well, again, we have a powerful group of individuals in the pharmaceutical industry. They've captured our public health agency. They've captured the CDC. The media is captured from ABC to NBC. And so there's a narrative that they are putting out that they're paid for, that is paid for, that they're putting out. The facts are this. When we get data like cardiac MRIs, heart casts, echocardiograms that show physical changes and scarring, okay? And this is what we're hoping, that Damar Hamlin's family, we're hoping that this is such a public event, we're hoping that we will know the results of those studies for him, and therefore we can put in perspective what really happened. Why? Because a young man of 24 years old almost lost his life. And so we're seeking the truth. I've presented the facts to you, the journal articles, the reasoning of why we think this is happening. This is not...
It probably will never be uncovered, Dr. Hall. So that's why you're presenting this information. You're having the faith to come out here and talk about it. And that's why audio podcasting is the only place it could be done, which is a sad thing that we've come in censoring two sides of the story as journalists. And again, we need to pray for Damar's family and hopefully that the young man can someday be able to do something again. And just watch out for these things. But what are your recommendations as a doctor to really consult your physician and talk to them about if you're going to get the vaccine, if it's really worth getting the vaccine or not? Is that correct?
That's correct. And what we know right now is that only 13% of Americans are getting boosters. 87% of the public has figured this out from a knowledge that they get from podcasting, from wonderful stations like yourself. And the fact that this hits home, I mean, this is a young man that you tutored. I mean, it was possible for him to go to college, to go to and play in the NFL because of the efforts of helping him with his academics. And so, and as a doctor, from my standpoint, as one who's working now every day, full-time emergency medicine, continuing to do cardiac resuscitations for cardiac arrest, I do that on a daily basis. This is just data I want the public to know. I want them to be informed as to what's going on and as to why we're seeing these young people pass out and die.
All right. Okay. Best place to check you out, Dr. Hall, is where? You can purchase your book on Amazon, right?
Exactly. Look, the book on Amazon, War of the Court, it's there. Again, talks a lot about medicine, my life, and it's a motivational book for young people here in America.
Excellent. And then we're going to more things coming in 2023. Be ready for the Dr. Christopher Hall Show. New celebrities, new conversations, and just having a great conversation with you. So we appreciate it, Dr. Hall.
No problem. Great. Talk to you, Neil. Looking forward to all the new celebrities coming for this new year.
All right. That was the Dr. Christopher Hall Show, guys. Take care.